Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Rock Hushka, senior curator of the Tacoma Art Museum in Washington. We're talking about their 30 Americans exhibition, which goes till January 15th, 2017. Enjoy! We are still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book Reptiles on Caffeine on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. Hey, Rock, this is Brooke Musterman. How are you doing?
Doing great, thanks. How are you?
Doing good. You ready to do our chat?
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. I'm real excited about this 30 Americans exhibition, and I was really interested in finding out more about it.
Okay. We're extraordinarily proud to have the show here and to be the first West Coast venue.
Right.
And in fact, the first museum west of the Mississippi to host the exhibition.
Right. So it's a traveling exhibition.
Correct. Yeah. It was organized by the Revelle Family Collection in Miami. And we're the 10th venue for the show.
Oh, wow. Wow, and this is just their private collection. Tell us about it.
Sure. The Revelles have been collecting artwork since 1964. They have probably 8,000 or so works in their collection, and 30 Americans at Tacoma Museum is 45 of these works. The idea for 30 Americans began when the Revelles noticed that they were visiting a lot of young African-American artists in about 2004 or so. And they decided that because this was happening, they decided to look more closely at their collecting. And they realized that they had been collecting contemporary African-American art for a long time. In fact, one of the things that distinguishes the Revelles is that they deliberately seek out the most provocative and relevant contemporary art, and they decide very quickly that they want to acquire the work. And in conversation with a lot of the artists, an idea began to gel that they should focus on this one part of their collection in 2008. And with the nomination and election of Barack Obama as president, that was a little bit of the impetus to celebrate this one part of their collecting activity.
Right.
They work pretty closely with all of the artists build a consensus about the exhibition. And in fact, one artist asked that she not be included. And so she was, so they, respected her request and built the exhibition without her.
Why didn't she want to be included?
The idea of doing an exhibition of only artists of a certain racial identity. Complicated, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work.
Right.
In this case, it's because the Revelle family works so closely and spent so much time with the artist. There's an agreement that you can trace influence, or there's an understanding that the exhibition celebrates the contributions of these artists, but then also allows us to do some really interesting things, like look for influences from generation to generation, as well as the kind of conversations these younger artists are having amongst themselves.
Right. Now, you had said that the Revelle family worked closely with these artists. What does that mean? What does that mean?
When the Revelles decide to collect a work of art, or they begin to imagine a project, they spend a lot of time talking directly with the artists, often in their studios, on the telephone, and the because they're a a museum with that focuses on one part of their collection, they have a little bit of a broader range of possibilities that they can do, mm-hmm. and they take that responsibility very seriously and want to ensure that the artist's intent is always foregrounding.
Uh-huh.
And for a project like Studio Americans, which could easily become very political very quickly,
right?
The fact that they brought forth the artist and the artwork first, mm-hmm. versus an overarching territorial theme imposed by an outsider is really important.
Right. Right. Now, they did I understand you to say that they were just collecting like the most, what they thought was the most different artwork, that, and it just happened to be by African American artists, or were they specifically seeking out?
It just happened, is one way to describe it. They want the most compelling art of contemporary art.
Uh-huh.
And it could be African American, it could be Brazilian,
right.
It could be German, it could be Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So they look really carefully, and one of the notable things about Rubel's is that they often ask artists who are already in the collection, who should they be looking at, who should they be talking to.
Uh-huh.
And they learn about young artists through recommendations from artists already in the collection.
Right, right. So I think that's so cool. And I just love how this exhibition just came to be. I think it's so relevant. I think it's so great. Tell us about... I'm sorry?
I was just going to say that that's one of the really remarkable things. So this exhibition has been on view for almost 10 years.
Wow.
And it's as fresh and relevant today as it was in 2008.
Wow.
And we can look at it as, you know, when it was first presented in Miami, it was the beginning of Barack Obama's term as presidency, first term.
Right.
And at Tacoma in 2016, we're in the end of another political race.
Yeah.
And importantly, issues of race and identity are just so much more important and so central to the conversation we're having about mm-hmm. the political environment,
mm-hmm.
but also on campuses, in our cities, in our churches. And so we're really happy that we have this opportunity to move that dialogue forward in Tacoma.
Right, right. Yeah, that's so exciting. And you have pieces by, I was looking at them, by Carol Walker and Glenn Ligon. So tell us about some of the pieces that you have.
Sure. There are 45 total works, and these are iconic works of some of the most interesting and compelling contemporary artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to remind people, or speculate, I guess,
mm-hmm.
That in 20 years, when somebody writes a new history of American art of this time,
mm-hmm.
Some of the works that are in our galleries right now will be illustrated in that book, because they're such iconic works,
right.
by these artists.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol Walker's Camptown Lady is a really good example of that.
Right.
It's her paper cutouts that are adhered to the wall, and it's this sort of bending of history and fable and imagination about what the legacy of slavery actually is,
mm-hmm.
and it makes us think about the violence and degradation of slavery,
mm-hmm.
Historically, and also the legacy of segregation. It makes us think about the sexual violence that was part of the world with slavery.
Right.
And then it also, the way it destroyed families.
You know? Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful, really large work. And she doesn't give us a lot of respite in the story.
Right.
She just lays out the evils of slavery. And
yes.
the title is ironic. You know, the Stephen Foster song "Camptown Races,"
right.
In that antebellum folk song,
right.
Giving it, you know, making us see what was really happening, not
yeah.
this sanitized version of history.
Right, right. Because I don't know. I mean, I guess I never. I don't know. You don't really think about all of that. You just, I mean, slavery. The concept of slavery is bad enough, but when you add, you know, sexual violence into it, that's like a million times worse.
Yeah, well, that's exactly, and that is one of the important contributions of Walker, is that she, by making these really provocative works of art, and I mean provocative in the sense that it provokes an intense emotion.
Right.
And an intense response, not a churlish kind of way to shock people, but the intensity of the awareness of what has happened and how history continues to influence the contemporary world
mm-hmm.
is so important.
Yeah.
And to have this kind of work in a museum where people, visitors, can understand this history in a fuller and wider way. We're working with a curatorial consultant, Serenity Wise,
mm-hmm.
and she helps remind us that these works of art are often bridges that a person, a white person like me, can begin to understand an aspect about a work of art, spend time with the works of art,
mm-hmm.
and then become more open to some really important and sometimes difficult conversations
right.
about an African-American artist's experience.
Right.
Now, we're not going to, we white folk aren't necessarily going to understand the fullness and complexity and depth of the individual artist's experience,
right.
but we begin to open up to this conversation and start talking about these critical issues of race, history, and legacy,
mm-hmm.
and build a shared vocabulary which will help us make a better society.
Right, right. And the collectors, they're white, aren't they?
Right. They're Jewish hotel owners
uh-huh.
in their 70s,
okay.
Based out of Miami and Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. So I think...
Now, they do have Mira Rubel shared that, you know, she's been active in the civil rights
mm-hmm.
Efforts for a long time, and in fact, she was at the 1963 I Have a Dream speech
mm-hmm.
by Martin Luther King as a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not unfamiliar territory for them.
Right.
And they're really committed to the artists in the show and making sure that their voices are heard.
Right, right. Well, do you think that they can sort of identify with it, with the struggle on a kind of a deeper level with being given their heritage?
I think so, but I don't want to speak for Mira and Don.
Right.
But it is important to note that Mira was a refugee
okay.
In World War II and migrated to the United States, and so there is a shared experience about being of having to deal with race and religious identity. So there is a resonance between these works of art and Mira's own experience.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I think I've always said that I think art is the best way to teach people things and to learn things and to share these thoughts and share these emotions and feelings. I can't think of another way to really do it.
Well, exactly. And we at the museum, one of our core values is to trust the artist,
mm-hmm.
and to see these wonderful works of art, to experience them, to think deeply about them, and then find the points of our shared humanity so that we can respect one another more easily.
Right. Right. I think that's really great. What do you want the takeaway to be for someone who goes to this exhibition?
There are a couple. From our museum's mission standpoint, we want people to be very proud that 6 of the 31 artists on view
mm-hmm.
have important Northwest connections.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do.
Yeah. So 2 were born in the area, mm-hmm. and others have either worked here or continue to work here. And so that's something that I think is really fascinating and that we need to celebrate.
Yeah.
Secondly, I want people to allow themselves to be open to the possibility that the contemporary world has all of these important voices that are here, that have made these insanely beautiful works of art, and that if we open ourselves up to conversations with the artists or with our neighbors, that we can have a fuller and richer understanding of what it means to be an American,
mm-hmm.
and that we can acknowledge one another's humanity.
Right.
I've been hearing this phrase over the last couple of weeks about artists recognizing that they're an American citizen. Mira told us a story about Hank Willis Thomas being somewhat shocked that he was considered as an American and not an African American.
Oh, wow.
When they were working on the title.
Uh-huh.
When we were in staff training with Serenity, just a reminder that she had to say repeatedly that we are human,
mm-hmm.
and just the frustration and sadness that I have as a curator that we have to say something that basic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
On the one hand, it's very disheartening.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it really fortifies me that I'm doing a little bit to make the world a better place, and that I have to do more, harder. A few months ago, I had a conversation with artist and activist Sir Rodney Sir in New York.
Uh-huh.
And then Robert Vasquez, one of the members of Grand Fury. And, they reminded me that it's important to listen and listen harder to artists. And that, I hope, is one of the things that I've learned personally mm-hmm. from this experience,
uh-huh.
and that I can help our visitors do when they're here.
Right, right. Now, since this has been traveling around and been in other museums and other, what is your role in curating this? How is this different than an exhibition that you thought of?
Okay. Oh, great question. So I am the in-house coordinating curator. So essentially, I attend to a lot of the details and logistics of making sure that the works of art arrive and are installed in our museum safely.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been a traveling exhibition, and these works were at the Cincinnati Art Museum just prior to mm-hmm. opening at Tacoma,
mm-hmm.
the exhibition, the labels, all the artworks, we took most of that wholesale from them. One of the things that we did do is that we engaged our colleague at the Northwest African American Museum, Serenity Wise, to help us review the label texts to make sure that they were suitable for Tacoma and our audiences. She helped us edit the labels and adjust the tone based on her understanding of the Northwest and how we understand as media professionals how our audiences engage. And then all of this was any changes that we made were approved by the Riddell Family Collection and their director Juan Valadez.
Mm-hmm.
And what's important about this is that even from the very inception of the show, before 2008, with the Riddell family working directly with the artists in their studios, through our colleagues at Detroit, Cincinnati, to the engagement with Serenity Wise here,
mm-hmm.
People of color have been intimately involved with its shaping for Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a little bit of a different model for Tacoma Art Museum.
Yeah.
And then we also work really closely with the Community Advisory Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And about 75% of that committee were people of color. And they helped us think about programming for the exhibition and help us shape the interpretation of the audience engagement a little bit as well. So we've been really mindful about including the African American voices in every stage of this show and engaging people of color.
Cool. What is their response or reaction been to it?
Who are they?
It's an exhibition geared, well, it's about African Americans, geared towards them. I suppose. I mean, what is their? Do they think it's right on? Do they think it's?
I can only speak to my observations of two small sample sets. The first are the Community Advisory Committee,
mm-hmm.
and they are really excited and very proud to have been part of the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping us with not only the programming, but also outreach to the community. And we also have the endorsement of 9 community groups, African-American community groups in the Northwest,
mm-hmm.
Including 2 chapters of the NAACP, 2 chapters of the Lynx,
mm-hmm.
So 9 total. And these organizations are really proud to be associated with the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second sample that I have is at the opening. And the number of African Americans present in the show,
mm-hmm.
Or at the opening, in the galleries, was much higher than our usual attendance.
Yeah.
By state law, we can't track ethnicity without people's approval.
So right, right.
What I see.
Right.
But we saw people spending a lot of time in the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
We had community members giving their impressions and interpretations of works of art throughout the opening,
uh-huh.
and that was really beautifully received. The poet Elijah Muid spoke very beautifully
cool.
In front of a work of art, and we're really excited that he's coming back to do an entire program of spoken word.
Oh, very cool.
Other poets. Yeah, fantastic. So, and then yesterday, when we had a press walkthrough, a reporter from Seattle saw the Kerry James Marshall installation called Souvenir, which pays homage to the church bombing in Birmingham in 1963.
Mm-hmm.
And she started crying.
Yeah.
And that level of intensity is great that people are truly and deeply connecting with these works of art.
Right.
That we can, the museum can be that place, and the museum staff can be there to help support people at that moment, make sure that they that their emotions are validated and reflected back to them and supported has been one of the really really nice parts of the show as well.
Right, right. That's exciting. That's really cool. That's really cool that when you realize that something that you've worked on really, you know, touches people and they really connect with it. That's got to be rewarding.
Yep. That's our very mission, connecting people through art. So.
Right, right. who you said that two of the artists were, at least two of the artists were Westerners, like lived in Washington.
Oh, sure.
Which so, ones are they?
Noah Davis was born in Seattle, and Carrie Mae Weems was born in Portland.
Cool.
And Robert Colescott taught in Seattle and Portland in the 1960s. Hank Willis Thomas is currently working on a major public art commission for Sound Transit, the region's public transit agency. And he's working with a local artist, Barbara Earl Thomas. The painter Nicolene Thomas spent 6 years in Portland just before she decided to become an artist. She was working for a law firm and was starting to meet artists and go to galleries and convincing herself that she could actually be an artist. So that happened in Portland.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty amazing. And then artists like Lorna Simpson and Carol Walker have shown in the Northwest a lot. So we like to think that if they come to the area and draw on a napkin, they become Northwestern.
Right, right. That's awesome. This sounds like such a cool exhibition. Thank you so much for talking to me about it.
Yeah, it's really amazing. The artworks themselves are spectacular. The kind of conversations that we're able to have in our gallery are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we've got a very lively set of public programs, a conversation about racism, to the Poetry Slam. We had Don and Mira here a couple weeks ago. So a very lively set of educational programs and experiences throughout the run of the exhibition.
Cool. Cool. Like what kinds of programs do you have?
We're having artist-led demos. We're having the panel discussions about racism. Two of the panelists include the former mayor, Harold Moss, the current mayor, Marilyn Strickland, and some other folks. We're still busily signing contracts. We have the poet Elijah coming back doing his spoken word with the spoken word community. We've invited them back. And then we're working on some programmings for teens. And then we're doing a screening of the film Colored Frames, which is about black artists at the beginning of the civil rights era to the present.
Cool. Cool. So lots of cool stuff. You have lots of outlets for conversations, sounds like.
Absolutely. we also have ways for visitors to interact in the galleries. We have two sort of response projects. One is that people can share their thoughts about the work of art that's most unforgettable for them. They write their comments on the card, and then they hang the card next to a photograph of the work of art that they found most compelling. And then we also have a postcard where people will write down something that they can do to combat racism. And then in a few weeks, the museum museum will put a sticker on that postcard saying, you said that you were going to do this. How's it going?
Right.
It was on the back to the person who wrote the card. And so that's a way for us to reconnect with people a little bit after the show, but pull the ideas that are in the galleries into people's homes directly.
Cool. Cool. Well, this sounds awesome. This sounds really cool. So thank you so much for chatting with me, Rock.
Yeah, anytime. This was great. Thanks.
Thank you so much to Rock Huschka of the Tacoma Art Museum for telling us about the 30 Americans exhibition. And thank you for listening. I know I learned a lot. If you're in the Tacoma area, check out the museum. If you're interested in having us promote your product or service, if you have a comment, if you have ideas for future podcasts, or would like to be on the show yourself, please contact me at arttalkwithbrooke@gmail.com. That's all one word and Brooke with an E. Thanks.
Let's Talk Art with Brooke is a Hotspur Enterprises media production.